And we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. And one of our favorite guests here on the program this morning is General Perry Wiggins from the Governor's Military Council, where he serves as the Executive Director. He joins us via telephone from, I believe, Chapman, his hometown, correct?
That's correct, Brandon.
It's good to talk to you once again, my friend. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. I mean, I woke up this morning, and as I was telling you, it's anything that has a minus associated with the number, it's just too cold.
Yes, no kidding. And I know you're a big K-State fan. What did you think of the bowl game here this week?
I thought it was a great bowl game, a great win for K-State University. I know that a lot of people were trying to minimize that win by saying that LSU didn't have a lot of their top-notch players, but, you know, I think that's just a crux. I think K-State came in prepared, and they took it to LSU offensively and defensively. The defense rose to the occasion and really shut them down. So, I mean, that's a great win for the program. That's a great win for those football players and for K-State University.
Yeah, yeah. Whoop-de-doo to those people, those naysayers, you know. That's. I thought it was a good win, too. And it was nice that it was on a national stage. We're the only game in the entire country then, so everyone got to, diehard college football fans probably primarily, got to see K-State on a national stage, which is pretty cool.
Right, and you know, the reciprocal of that is you got to see LSU, a program that really lost their standards and their moral compass for that regard, and that starts with the head coach. So, you know, for me, it shows you how important it is to have leadership at those schools and somebody that instills discipline, standards, and really a direction for those athletes as they go forward.
Well, we we'll turn the calendar here to 2022. Always a good time of year to take a look at what's going to be coming up. I know you have a bunch of initiatives in your office, and we're going to talk about some of those here this morning. Might start with this Gold Star Memorial. I've heard a little bit about this. This is, something that's going to be happening in Topeka. Is that correct?
Well, that's where we're gonna put it at the State House grounds, which is always unique and has its own special process, putting a permanent monument on the State House grounds. But yeah, we in the state of Kansas are one, maybe the only one, state that does not have a memorial dedicated to the Gold Star families and relatives, and so we're going to rectify that by placing a monument dedicated to those families and honoring them for their sacrifices. And I think Kansas, I don't know why we didn't have one in the past, but that oversight is surely going to be rectified, hopefully in this next legislation session that we have. I know that it's being introduced as legislation to put it on the grounds, and then we got to get after raising funds course to basically procure the monument, and that's stuff that I'm working on now. And just a story here in Manhattan, for example, I went to Riverside, California, and paid respects as the officiating officer at a funeral for a Medal of Honor recipient and named Walter Ehlers. He's from Manhattan. The Ehlers brothers are from Kansas, and what was unique was two brothers that basically in World War II got shipped out. They spent 4 years together in the African campaign, and then just before D-Day, the command split them up against the advice of Roland and Walt, who wanted to stay together like they had been for the previous 4 years. But they were concerned that they both would get killed in the landing. And when they split them up, Walt went on, of course, and earned the Medal of Honor for his actions, but his brother Roland, unfortunately, was killed in the landing craft while trying to make it to shore. And, you know, we have families throughout Kansas that have those types of stories, and unfortunately, their service member gave the ultimate sacrifice. And so I think it's only fitting that we put a monument at our Capitol and at our State House that recognizes the ultimate sacrifice given by the service member, but more importantly, in this case, the sacrifice of those families out there.
What a wonderful opportunity. Sounds like a great plan. Will there be any digital component to that? Like maybe, you know, they could share some, you know, audio stories or video to that?
Well, not necessarily with the monument itself, but that's a great point. I mean, you know, I tell people all the time, when I was 1st Infantry Division commander, we had a conference in Colorado, and they had a room set up with a camera and nothing else, just a chair and a camera. And I asked the gentleman, I said, you know, what are we doing here? And he goes, we're capturing memories. And then he told me that, you know, we're losing 1,100 World War II vets a day. And those stories, a lot of those, will be lost if we don't capture it. And so they had that set up for a service member to go in, a vet, and sit down in a chair and tell his story. And I wonder how many stories out in our communities we're going to lose over the next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And World War II veterans, and, you know, hopefully at some point we'll start getting Vietnam veterans that'll document some of their memories as well, because they'll be the next generation here that will start to slowly phase out here in the near future.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. And we should not forget Korea, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we always seem to over-miss the Korean vets, but, you know, a day like today where it's -5 degrees, when you think about the frozen chosen and the conditions they had to go through without the proper equipment in some regard, to me, those were great Americans as well, standing on point for the nation.
It's interesting you bring that up. I was just talking to my children the other day. My oldest one, the little one, doesn't quite understand, but the other one, she's 11 now, and I was explaining, you know, how it's really cold out here today. Well, some of our great veterans in World War II, at the Battle of the Bulge is the one I was thinking of primarily. You know, they had to be out there in the horrible, horrible winter out there in on the shores of Normandy and all these other places. And imagine what they had to go through. And you know, we complain when it gets cold like today, but I can't even fathom what some of these veterans went through.
Well, you know, I tell people all the time that, you know, some of our training that we've gone through right there out there at Fort Riley today, there are soldiers right now that are bundled up, but they're out there in the elements doing training to maintain the sharp readiness that they need to fight and win this nation's wars. And that's happening in deployments all over the globe today. And so I remember very, very, very cold nights. You know, we used to sit there and joke all the time, who has the heat tab? But, you know, that's important. And leadership is important in these type of conditions as well to keep those soldiers safe. But there's training going on right now. And so when I'm in the comfort of my heated house, I always think about the soldiers and the first responders as well that are out there keeping us safe as a nation.
What do you think is more difficult, training in the extreme cold or in the extreme heat?
Well, they both have their challenges. I personally can deal with the heat better than I can the cold, and I'm sure there's others out there that will argue you can always dress up to take care of the cold, but you can't take a lot off when it gets to a point with the heat. But so for me, it's definitely the cold, and that's primarily because, you know, as I told Dave earlier, I'm a Southern guy. I call Georgia home, and it doesn't get too cold down there.
Yeah, no kidding. Again, we're talking with General Perry Wiggins here, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. Why don't we step aside? We'll take our break here on the show, and we'll get into some other initiatives here with the Governor's Military Council in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.